You want to follow right along with your pastor tonight, go with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 16, and then we'll go several other places tonight while you find your place. If somebody got a bad case of the can't help it, so you go right ahead, because it's all God's time. I'm not going to come back and goad you or prod you. Go ahead, honey. Amen, Miss Jan. Amen. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's good to have our visitors with us tonight. If you call yourself a visitor, I trust that somebody's already made you feel welcome, because truly you are. You're in the Lord's house. Our number's off a little bit tonight. You pray for Brother Tommy and Miss Belva. They're at the funeral home this evening, and I know many of you were there because I was there, and I saw you there. But when we got a half of our church or a part of our church over there, it kind of puts a, I don't know, just a little burden or a damper on us. But let's just mind the Lord tonight. I know Brother Tommy's heart is here with us, because he'd be here with us if he could. And I know Miss Belva will be right beside him. Miss Jean, I kind of look for y'all not to be here tonight, but I'm glad that you're here. And I appreciate y'all coming out tonight. But let's do remember Brother Tommy. Brother Eli, it's good to have you back. As you well know, Eli spent a few days in the intensive care unit. Just got out, I guess, yesterday, wasn't it? Got out of intensive care unit yesterday, back in the house of the Lord tonight. That's not bad, folks. That's not bad. I've seen Miss Kay Handy do that numerous times. Get out of the hospital at 10 o'clock on a Wednesday morning to be back in here on Wednesday night. My friends, some people want to go to church. Amen. Some people love the church, yes. But then there's some people love the Lord. My pastor always said them that come on Sunday morning, they love the church. He said when them come back on Sunday night, Wednesday night, they love the Lord. So I'll just go with that. Let me just say tonight, as many of you know, and if you don't know, I had a heart procedure done just probably about a year and a half ago, or whatever it's been now. It was December the 12th of 2017. They did a heart cath, and then they went back in through three different places with seven different catheters. And Brother Tim, they went in there and fixed a problem that had been going on for 6 years. But can I tell you, Brother Tim, that on the third Thursday of April in 1981, as a 13-year-old boy, he was no electrocardiologist or physiologist. Bless God, he was the chief physician. And he did a work on my heart. And you say, well, I know he pricked your mind. No, he didn't. When the altar call was given, the choir leader had told the church to grab the old redback hymnal and turn to page 44. If you know what 44 is in your redback hymnal, that's "Come Unto Me." And they sang and they sang, and I guess they sang, Brother Tam, about 100 verses of that song. It seemed like they were never going to let us go. But that old preacher with a long finger and a stern look said, somebody needs to be born again. Somebody needs to be saved. There's one more that needs to come. Somebody needs to come. And Brother Tim, every time he flung that finger out, I don't care if he's pointing back here, it was hitting me squarely in the heart. And I'm honest. Now, you heard Brother Casey up here thumping that thing, and it was just a thump, thump, thumping. That's the way my heart was. It wasn't my head. My head didn't have nothing going on, Brother Tim. My head was not thinking about salvation. I was there because my dear little mama, I said, come on, boys, you're going to church. It's revival week, and you're going to be there. And Brother Tim, she drug me to church. But I'm so thankful, bless God, that whenever she drug me to church, that God had a greater purpose for my life. You see, Brother Archie, he could see down through the time, and he could see this little preacher standing, some 17 years of ministry now, but he could see every place I would go and everywhere that I would minister. He would go with me, Brother Tim, through my days in the service. When I got out of the service, he would go with me through the early walk of my life. And Brother Tim, when he found me faithful and put me in the gospel ministry, it wasn't nothing to do with my head. I want you to know there wasn't nothing going on in my mind. I wasn't sitting here trying to reason it out, saying, okay, now if I do this and do that. No, Brother Kippy, bless God, he was in my heart, and he was a finger in my heart, and he was working me over. It was the same finger of God that put his finger on my sin that I preached about Sunday morning. It was that same finger, Brother Tam, that was fingering my heart again. He took out the old stony heart. And bless God, as it is in the book of Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse number 26, he took out the stony heart. And bless God, he put in a heart of flesh, one that could be moved and one that could be worked with. And that's what God did for me. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, about the heart. Oh yeah, the electrophysiologist, cardiologist went in, and he did a work, and they put me to sleep. What was supposed to be about a 5 to 7 hour procedure, Brother Tam, I was in and out of there in just a couple hours. Why? Because I do believe that God wanted that thing fixed. Y'all will remember when I'd get up to preach, I'd start preaching. In just a few minutes, I'm up here propped up. Why? I didn't have any wind. I couldn't do what I wanted to do. But more, furthermore, Brother Archie, I couldn't do what God wanted me to do, and that was wearing me down. But I'm glad. I'm glad that Dr. Rubery fixed that. I really am. I don't take away from modern medicine. These people that won't go get blood, they won't take blood. If their children were dying, they wouldn't get their children blood. Bless God, my Savior was a blood donor. I ain't got no problem with that. Bless God, I'm a bone donor. I'm a bone marrow donor. I'm a tissue donor. I just had my driver's license renewed a couple weeks ago, and they said, you got that heart on there. You still want to be a donor? I said, bless God, if anybody can use it, you take it, because I'm getting a glorified body, and I ain't going to need any of this stuff anymore. Why? I've had a heart transplant already. Y'all all right? 1 Samuel chapter 16. Brother Justin sure needs some help tonight setting up in the Family Life Center after the service. So if some of you want to go down and help Brother Justin set up some chairs coming up for our VBS next week. If you don't know what VBS is, it's Vacation Bible School. It starts here next week. And I've been announcing the revival for those that's not been here, Brother Tam. Brother Jason Penley, the pastor of Solid Rock Baptist Church, will be with us. If you don't know Brother Jason, he's a blessing to you. If you sing in the choir and went to Solid Rock Baptist Church a couple months ago, whenever it was that we went down there, you met Brother Jason because we sang in his church. The whole choir went. But he'll be bringing the message each night. It'll be 18th of August through the 3rd of August. This is the third Sunday night of August through that Friday night of that week. And Brother Jason asked that we would certainly be in prayer for him as the Lord would prepare his heart and prepare us to receive the message. So we'll go ahead and stand tonight and give reverence the reading of God's word. I'm glad the heart could be touched. My doctor up here told me, she said, Mark, with your... y'all call me pastor, y'all call me preacher, you call me brother, you call me whatever you call me. But she calls me Mark, and rightfully so, she's my doctor and I'm one of her patients. She said, Mark, you're awful young to be having to take a handful of pills every day. Brother Tam, they had me on Flecainide and Deltizum and this and that, 20 million other things. I was eating a handful of pills every day. And I believe Big Pharma would keep me that way. I really do. I believe they would keep me on that. And she said, you're too young to take a handful of pills every day for the rest of your life. But what was happening, Brother Tam, my heart was still AFibbing. My heart was still going crazy over all the medicines, no matter what the dose they put me on. And then that started making me feel weird and all this other stuff. And finally, we prayed about it. And you'll remember, I come here, we got the anointing done. Y'all anointed me with oil, Brother Clayton, y'all remember that? And then the Lord, the great physician, did the work. And it wasn't because of Benny Hinn or Benny Rooster or any of these other TV evangelists, because we took James chapter 5 at its word. And God did a work in my heart, and I'm thankful for that. You say, why do you keep bringing that up? I'm glad, as the psalmist said, my heart is fixed. Now, that word fixed in that does not mean that it was repaired. That means that the psalmist said, my heart is stayed. My heart is fixated. My heart is surely toward Almighty God. And I want you to see in this tonight why, if you're dealing with a heart problem tonight, why I believe God put the message, the song on Mary Doris's heart. I think it's why Brother Scott, whenever I come up, I said, Brother Scott, I said, we need to sing This Blood. Brother Scott stopped me in my tracks and he said, I've already asked Miss Macy if she was prepared to sing This Blood. And I said, no, you didn't. He said, yeah, I did. I said, Macy, did Brother Scott ask you to sing a song? She said, yeah. I said, which one? She said, This Blood. And I said, boy, I'm glad you're praying, Brother Scott. I'm glad we're on the same team. I'm glad we're on the same page. God is getting ready to do a work here, and the horn of Samuel is about ready to go to the house of Jesse and go down to Jesse's land, and Jesse parades the sons through here. There's got to be one in the mix somewhere, and there's no more sons to bring through there, or so it was thought. And Samuel said, is this it? Because I've not seen the future king just yet. I'm summarizing, paraphrasing. Brother Tam, he said, this is it. Samuel's like, are you sure this is it? He said, well, there is one. I'm glad that there's always one. I'm glad that God deals in the one. I'm glad he'll leave the 99 to go get the one. I'm glad God deals in that one. Whenever old Philip was told to go down toward Gaza, a desert place, Brother Tim, why was he told to go down there? That's because he could have stayed up there where all the happening was going on. Brother Tim, there was 3,000. There's souls being saved daily, added to the church, such as should be saved. But here Philip's told to go down toward Gaza. Why? Because there was one, an Ethiopian eunuch under the Queen Candace. He's sitting there in his chariot. Been up there to Jerusalem to worship under the law. And here comes Philip and said, what are you reading, buddy? And he said, I'm reading out of the book of Isaiah. He said, what are you reading? Do you understand it? He said, how could I except some man should guide me? And the Bible said that Philip jumped up in that chariot and preached unto him Jesus. Amen. What was so important about that? It's because he was one man. And God sent somebody to get that one man. Here we are, Jesse's house is so brought before Samuel, but yet there's one. Who was that one? It was the keeper of the sheep. It was David. The Bible said, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite. For I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me with him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, and listen to this, the Bible said, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For the Lord looketh on the outward, for the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Brother Chris, ask God to bless us, my friend. As you're being seated, let me again thank you for being here tonight. If you'll listen with your heart tonight, not so much with your ears, but yet with your heart. I'm going to bring just a little short sermon there, a little radio message. How about that? I'll preach real fast if y'all listen real fast, and we'll get out of here real fast. Only in the Lord. You know the story about how that King Saul was chosen. The people wanted a king. And that they might be like the other people. God said, if you want a king, I'll give you a king. And gave him a man of stature. Saul was a big man, tall man. And he did well for a while, Brother Tim. He did good. He did honorable in the sight of the Lord. But it come down that Saul was supposed to go down and kill King Agag. And everything that King Agag had his hand on, he was supposed to utterly destroy it. The oxen, the cattle, everything, just utterly destroy the place. And then we see later on that he did not do that. You could flip back over a couple of passages. What's that? Back over in chapter number 15. But as the Lord rejected Saul, the Bible said even the Spirit of the Lord withdrew from him, which brought to pass the saying that obedience is better than sacrifice, because Saul disobeyed God. And when Saul disobeyed God, he disobeyed it in that he didn't do what God told him to do. And Samuel even said, if you did what God said for you to do, then what is this lowing of the oxen that I'm hearing? And what is this that I've got before me today? And then you could go back then to verse number 19 and 20 of the 15th chapter, and said, wherefore didst thou obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, this evilness out of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, and the sheep, and the oxen, the chief of the things which had been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord. He didn't say bring back something for the sacrifice. He told him what to do. Now listen, it could have been in his mind to do that, but the problem, Brother Tam, was in Saul's heart. Why? Because he brought back the shekels of gold and the things that were important to a king. I bless God, he didn't say to do that. God said, you go down and destroy it all. And bless God, whenever we get in God's way, I opened up Sunday morning about getting out of God's order. When we get in God's way concerning anything in our life, my friend, you're the one that's out of order. God's not out of order. It is you. And I'm going up, and in my younger days, I did date a couple girls, and Miss Cindy dated a few other men. And as we did, it's been said by some that you give your heart away a little piece at a time. Let me tell you, that's not exactly how it worked. Why? Because Brother Archie, at the tender age of 13, God got every bit of my heart. And 32 years later, that little lady didn't get what was left after I give a little piece of this girl and a little piece of that girl. No, Brother Chris, she got every bit of my heart. God wrapped it up, and bless God, he sealed in a bow of grace. And whenever he did that, this young lady's praying for a husband, and bless God, I'm wanting a mate, and bless God, he's seen a work for me, Brother Tam, and because he saved me and redeemed me from the curse of the law at the tender age of 13, bless God, he's hearing that, and he's putting it together. She didn't get what was left over. Bless God, she got it all. Whether she likes it or not, 32 years later, I'm still hers, and bless God, she's still mine, and I'm glad God worked that thing out. But bless God, if we get out of God's will on anything, I'm telling you what, we're destined for a problem. We're destined for trouble. Now, I want to get into this, and I'm going to have about 50 million scriptures to give, because the Bible didn't tell me to preach my opinion or to preach my upbringing or to preach my prior relationships or the one I'm in now. Bless God, that's my only wife, my first wife, my last wife, and I pray that God let us go out in the rapture, and bless God, we just go out hand in hand together. That'd be all right with me. But turn over the book of Proverbs, tab number 4, just for a minute, because I want to start talking tonight, and I want to preach just for a few minutes about how that our heart is defined by God. Our heart is defined by the love of God. Our heart is defined by the purpose of God. I believe, Brother Tim, God's got me right here at Calvary Baptist Church on the side of 1624 Pads Road, North Carolina, in the great state of Wilkes, in the state of North Carolina, in the United States of America, to do a work right here as your pastor. I believe that. The Bible said that I will give you pastors after mine own heart. I believe God's got me here for that purpose. And bless God, but he knew that whenever he saved me at the tender age of 13. He did a work on my heart. The same as he did. He saved you last week, Valley. I mean, just last week you got saved by grace. And when I took you through that baptistry Sunday evening, honey, you don't know what God might be going to do. He might call you to be a missionary somewhere. He might let you be a pastor. But bless God, it's untelling what God would do with you. Why? Because you gave him your heart. It starts with your heart. Preacher, I thought it started in your head. Man, our head's messed up. But you know what? Before you got saved, your heart was messed up. Jeremiah said that the heart is deceived. And what else? It's not just deceived, it's desperately wicked. And who can know it? I tell you who knows it, the Lord. So our heart is defined by grace. If you're saved, Brother Kenny, was there anybody in here, and I know our visitors wouldn't know, but is there anybody here, you visitors don't have to raise your hand. Is there anybody in here tonight that did not know Brother Dean Rector? If you're in this area, you knew Brother Dean Rector. Most of us in here now, if you knew Brother Dean Rector, say amen. Was there any question in your mind that Brother Dean Rector, the former pastor of Cricket Baptist Church, he loved people? Amen. He'd see me. I don't care where I was at. If I was at Walmart or Lowe's or at the hospital coming down the hall, him with that little old Bible up under his arm, him going down through there, and he'd look up at Tam. You know what he'd say to me every time? He'd say, I love you. He'd say, I love you. I love you. Why would he say that? You say, well, that's just because Brother Dean had a byword. Some preachers preach every word, and every time they turn around, they say, amen, 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 preaching, amen, amen. No, he said, I love you, because that was in his heart. Amen. Our hearts are defined by God. You say, what is to be defined? A definition or defined is in Merriam-Webster or Noah Webster 16, or what version I just jumped out of there. What are we using, Brother Chris? 1828. You get my age, you'll understand. It's qualities and characteristics that show others who we are. How about that? If our heart is one defined by grace, it ought to show up somewhere. If our heart is going to be defined, what does that mean, Brother Kenny? It shows the qualities to others as to who you really are. And you were opening up in the prayer room tonight, and I appreciate you doing that because I was at the funeral home. But you know what, brother, while you was talking about that, bless God, the power of God is what I need on my life. You're trying to get people to pray and pray for their pastor, and you're talking about the power of God. Bless God, the power of God on a man's life is going to show up somewhere. And you're talking about people cursing and swearing and then come in here and shaking everything everybody's hand and said, "How you do, brother?" Bless God, knowing good and well, they've got lascivious thoughts and a covetous nature. They've got all this envy and strife and all these things of the heart inside of them. Brother, where are them things at? Bless God, it's in chapter number 4 of the book of Proverbs. Let me just read it real quick. And I got a bunch of scripture to use. The Bible says in chapter number 4 of the book of Proverbs, to keep, in verse number 23, to keep thy, what, thy head? To keep thy head with all diligence. For out of it come the issues of life. It does not say keep your mind. It does not say keep anything concerning your head. It says to keep your heart. Why? Because it's in there that come the issues of life. You want to love somebody? Bless God, it starts in your heart. You say, "Well, I thought it started in your head." No, that starts in your head is usually a temptation, a lascivious thought, or a lustful fleshly thought. And the next thing you know, you temper that thing around for a little while. And then guess what? You've committed sin. So it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You want to love somebody? Bless God, get your heart right with God. You want a 32-plus year marriage yourself? Get your heart right with God. You want one, Brother Kenny, how long y'all got? Y'all probably got 40. 47. Keep your heart. You want it to last, Brother Max? How many y'all got? About 60? 64? Really? God bless you, Brother Max. I mean, Claire May. Anybody got more than 64? Max, y'all win. But you know why you stayed married for 64 years? It's because the Bible tells you how to conduct yourself. The Bible tells you how to be in a marriage. To husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. How in the world could you do that if your heart wasn't right with God? How could I love her, Brother Tam, if my heart wasn't right with God? How could I have raised two godly daughters if my heart wasn't right? Brother Tam, I shudder to think what would have happened in the Hall household. Ask God, if Mama and myself had not been saved by God's grace, if we hadn't had a heart transplant, Brother Archie, it's untelling what our daughters might have turned up. And how that had turned up, where that had turned up. The heart is defined by grace. 1 Chronicles chapter number 28. Y'all just follow me. Mark it down, look it up later. 1 Chronicles chapter number 28. Verse number 9. But thou, Solomon, my son. Who's Solomon? Preacher, who in the world's Solomon? I thought you were talking about King David. Read on. Who's Solomon? Solomon is the love child that was after Bathsheba, and David conceived an iniquity and bare a son. God took that son. Remember that? God gave them a marriage, and then out of that come the wisest man to ever grace the planet by the name of Solomon. Are we still on the same page? Are y'all all right? The Bible said, "Thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a crooked heart." It doesn't say that. He's telling Solomon to serve God with a perfect heart. What is perfect? That means one without sin. One brother that loves unconditionally. And you say, "Well, how can we have the agape love of God?" You're not going to have unconditional agape love of God in a carnal mind or a carnal body. Bless God, you got to get your heart right with God. And when he pours in that, my wife and I, we have an eros kind of love. Why? Because we are together as husband and wife. I've got a storge kind of love. We've got phileo love with some of my brothers in here. Why? That's the Philadelphia love. It's a brotherly love. But bless God, that agape love of God, it's unconditional from him to us, but it's hard for us to get unconditional the other direction. We sit around Brother Archie and we pray prayers like this. "Lord, if you'll just let this happen, I'll do that." My friend, that you're putting conditions on a thrice holy God. Your heart's being defined by grace. Don't go that route. God's name's not Monty Hall. He's not a bargaining chip where you come into his presence and make a deal. Bless God, he said, "You love me." Because out of your heart's the issues of life. And here he is talking to Solomon. And it says, Solomon, to keep your heart. And look what he says. He says, "Solomon, my son, know now the God of thy father. Serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts." It didn't say some hearts. It says all hearts. "And the Lord searches all hearts and understanding all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Boy, that's sad, is it not? It's kind of strange that He's telling Solomon here to search, that the Lord searches all the hearts and understands the imaginations. If you were to go back to Genesis chapter number 6, you're going to find there that it was still a heart problem. It was a heart problem in Genesis. It's a heart problem in Solomon's time. It's a heart problem in Jesus' day. It's a heart problem in the book of the Revelation. It's a heart problem in the year 2019. It's still a heart problem. Man, hearts are wicked. We deviseth our own wicked imaginations. The Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 5, and God saw the wickedness of man and that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. My friends, our hearts, we are defined by our hearts. We are defined by our hearts. And if our hearts are not defined by grace, then we're still yet lost. And we're going to do what a lost man does. Preacher, I thought we'd just kind of go through the motions. Like Brother Kenny's talking about. Brother Kenny, you can't do that. He'll figure that thing out really quickly, won't he? You better believe he will. And he'll reveal that thing unto you. If you don't reveal it to you here, he'll reveal it to you on the day of judgment. He will, Brother Tam. The Bible said that many going to stand before him and say, I've done this and I've done that. What's he going to say? The saddest words you'll ever hear. Depart from me. I never knew you. I'm moving on beyond our hearts and how they define us. And there's a whole bunch of scriptures concerning this. Jeremiah chapter number 17, verse number 9. It said that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And then in verse number 10, it said, I, the Lord, I search the heart. Wasn't I read over here? Whenever I was reading in 1 Chronicles chapter number 9, the Bible said the Lord searcheth all the hearts and the understanding of the imaginations of the thoughts of a man. Here it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins to every man, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Not only are we defined by our hearts, but my friends, go with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3. You're already there in chapter number 4, reading about to keep the heart, because from it come the issues of life. You're not only defined by your heart, Brother Chris, but you're directed by your heart. Our heart, we chase after things. Why? Because our heart. Man, I'm gonna be honest with you, Brother Chad. You're a Marine, military man. Brother Ken, you're a military man. Brother James, you're a military man. Did your heart not pine for home? Did your heart not break for home? Did your heart not break, long for something back home? Does David's heart not long for home, Brother Dean? Whenever you read in the scriptures, whenever he's getting the garrison of the stronghold, he's with his mighty men. He gets to thinking about home. And he said, oh, that one would just give me a drink of the water of the wells of Beth. What's he thinking about? He's thinking about home, Brother Tam. And that's the way my heart was. And bless God, we are defined by our hearts, but we are so directed by our heart. My heart was not in the state of South Dakota, Brother Tam. My heart was not in Texas. My heart was not in Utah. My heart was not in anywhere else that the military would send me. But my heart was back here, because you know why? She was back here. Told her mom and daddy, I said, we'll try to wait till we get out, get married then. Here I am, 19 years old. Where's my 19-year-old tonight? If you're above 19, raise your hand. Yeah, there you go. If you got married at 19, raise your hand. Look at this. You can't say married 19 don't work. Greg, y'all still married. Ain't that that shows grace. If it wasn't, she'd have killed you a long time ago. Brother Tim, I'm telling you, my heart was here. Because my heart was inclined to that young lady. Brother Tim, I come back and got her. I told her, Mom and Daddy, I'm sorry, but it's cold in South Dakota. I got to have some. It was cold out there. Two make more heat than one. That's biblical. It's in the Bible. I'll show it to you in a little while. Somebody to scooch up to. Proverbs chapter number 3. We all know these. We all quote these scriptures very often. But if our hearts define us, and they do, I mean, I've seen some scalawags. And you look at them a little bit long, and you look at them a little bit wrong, and next thing you know, you figure out why, Brother Tam, because their heart's wrong with God. And if your heart's wrong with God, it's wrong with everybody. Your heart cannot be right with God and then wrong with everybody else. But you can't be right with everybody else and be wrong with God. It don't work that way. I've seen people, they're miserable. They've cussed out every coach, the principal, teacher. They cussed out their pastor. They cussed out everybody in their life. Why? I'm telling you, they're defined by their heart. But as you're defined by your heart, you can also be directed. You said, well, you told us the definition of defined, which is the qualities and characteristics that show others who you really are. What's to be directed? To move, to point, or to turn in an undeviating, straight, purposed pathway. In other words, shows you where to go. The heart directs us. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 3, verses 5 and 6, to trust in the Lord with all thine mind, with all thy head, with what your wife tells you to do, with what anything. No, it says to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Listen to what it said, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Where does understanding come from, Brother Tim? It comes from here. He said, don't you lean on your own understanding. It says, to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct, do what? He shall direct your paths. Even as our hearts would define us as a lost man or a saved man, as covered by grace, it also defines us, Brother Archie, but it will direct us. Nobody had to tell Brother Tam Cheek to get up and come to church this evening. Why? Because it was in the heart to do so. It was in your heart to go down there to Socrates Baptist Church. It's in your heart to do what you do, Brother Charles. Did Miss Sherry have to look at you and say, Brother Charles, the daddy, or what she call you, boo-boo? I know you got a pet name. What is it, Sherry? No, we're not going there. Are we going to church tonight? Did she have to ask you that? Did anybody, Brother Chris, did your mom and dad say, Chris, are we going to church tonight? No, why? Because the Lord directed you here. You said the Lord directed. I hope that he did. If anybody here not come out of a sense of duty or obligation, shame on you. Bless God, our visitors even were directed. Where are y'all from? Somebody spit it out. Y'all got Jesus down there? You got anybody down there with heart problems? Best God, we got a bunch of people up here with heart problems. But who in the world told y'all about Calvary? And how in the world did you get here on a Wednesday night? Best God, and this is the one Wednesday night where we're not dried up like last year's bird's nest. There's a whole lot of times we come in here and it's like we've been eating salt briars and we're just everything going. But best God, tonight the Lord is in the house. And we're preaching about the manners of the heart. Somebody called Jesus, directed them, Miss Angie, to this church on this night. It was their hearts. Why? Because their hearts are inclined toward him. I'm telling you what, ain't nothing like being saved, Brother Kip. He'll direct you to the where you need to go. He'll direct you to the scriptures you need to read. He'll direct you to the song you need to sing. He'll direct you in every form and fashion and way of life, if only you'll let him. I promise you he'll do that. Not only chapter 3, 5, and 6, but James chapter number 1. Going over to the New Testament, we're a New Testament church. We won't keep you under the law because, bless God, we're not under the law. We're living under the dispensation, the age of grace. Thank God for grace. Right, Brother Derek? I got an amen out in the foyer. James chapter number 1 says these words in verse number 22. Let's just get verse number 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like to a man that beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Why? Because he is deceived. A heart is pure and it'll be directed by God, if so be that you're saved. Psalms chapter number 119. We're moving to the next one. Psalm 119 and verse number 11. You don't have to turn there. We quote it, we read it, it's in our Bible school pledge. Thy word have I hid in my head that I might not sin against God. You don't hide that in your head. It's full of all the other junk that's in there. He said, thy word, 119 and 11, for those that's jotting it down. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying our heart, Brother Kenny, once it's saved by God's grace, it defines the man. I don't wonder about Kenny Anderson, brother. You could go to hell off this church pew, but I don't believe it in my mind. If I get to stand over your funeral or you stand over mine, I hope you'll be up there, stand over the pew of the coffin of this man and say he loved the Lord.
Amen.
He was a saved man. Yes. Not because of anything I've done, not because of any message I've ever preached or song I've sung, but because, bless God, he saved me.
Amen.
The defined heart shows up in a man's life. I'm telling you what, you walk in the integrity of the heart, the uprightness of the heart. These people around here, Brother Kip, you wonder about them. They beat everybody in the county out of a nickel. They've done this, done that. They cheated, steal, lied, and robbed. They go to their grave. But most of them, I won't say all of them, but most of them, Brother Tam, got their name on a roll somewhere. Looks real good in an obituary. Say he was in the Masonic Lodge. I'd get out of that real quick. Come on. Hello? Said he was a Shriner and he was in the 4-H, the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, the Cub Scouts. He was into everything. But I promise you this, Brother Archie, most of them get their name on a church roll. Very few will say he died of the Baptist faith or the Methodist faith, the Presbyterian faith or the Lutheran faith or this faith. Most of them, Brother Chris, said they belong to a church. You can belong to every church in this county and still die and go to hell. Your heart's defined by grace. Your heart is directed because it is. Going to Romans chapter number 10 and 9. We're going to close this thing down. Before we go to Romans 10 and 9, go to Luke chapter number 6 just for a minute. Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6. The heart is defined. The heart is directed. But Brother Tam, if it's not delivered, guess what, my friend? You're in trouble. Brother Potts, I've loved you for many of years. And you know what I admire about you, my friend? The times that you've made your way to that corner over there just wanting to pray. Just wanting to talk to God. When I sat down at your 90th birthday, just this past Saturday, at your birthday celebration, you know what I thought, Brother Archie? Brother Potts? I thought, well, there's a whole bunch of us in here that'll never reach 90. I promise you, if we're giving 70, we're giving 70. That ain't a given. Some of them go long before that. Go down here, we've got little building blocks and we've got everything else as tombstones in our cemetery. But you know what? I thought about that, Brother Potts. I thought, man, he's had a long life. God's blessed you. And I thought to myself, there's a whole bunch of us in here when I was down there. I thought that whole bunch of us ain't going to make that. But you know what, brother? It blesses my heart when I see you over there in that corner still talking to Almighty God. Boy, that's a blessing. You know why? Because he's being directed by God. Grace is defined who he stands. He stands with integrity. He stands tall, Brother Potts. A lot of you do, and I'm thankful for that. But bless God, you can't stand, you can't be directed, you won't be defined if you ain't first delivered by Almighty God. The book of Luke, chapter number 6, and like I said, we'll close this thing down a little bit. I don't know if anybody got anywhere to be. We'll have a short conference here in just a minute, but we'll close this thing out here just a little bit. Chapter number 6 of the book of Luke. I'll just pick up the reading in verse number 46. Now let's go back up and get it, starting about verse number 43. It said, a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doeth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit, for every tree is known by its own fruit. For of a thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather grapes. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built his house and digged deep and laid his foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house, could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation, built his house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Where to start? Goes back to what it said, the heart. Going to Romans chapter number 10. We all quote these verses. We love these verses. It's very special verses concerning a man being saved. The Bible says 10 and 9 that if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus, thou shalt believe in thy head. Where? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, Brother Kenny, it's the heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with his mouth confession is made unto salvation. Balak, there was a reason, son, that I turned around on Sunday morning after you give your heart and life to the Lord. And I said, son, what happened to you? And what did you say? You said, I got saved. Bless God, you believe it in your heart, and I want to hear it from your mouth. Put the devil on notice. That's what you do when you go down to the baptistry. Bless God, you're showing his death, his burial, and his resurrection unto this lost and dying world. And telling Satan whose side you're on. Man, we're delivered because of what he does in our hearts. Tammy, you get a heart transplant. Preacher, I made my mind up. I'm going to turn a leaf. I'm going to turn a page. I'm going to do better. I'm going to live by the golden rule. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to help little ladies cross the street. I'm going to buy Girl Scout cookies. And I'm going to contribute to the Good Samaritans. And I'm going to give to this society. I'm going to give to that society. I'm going to give my wealth to the poor. I'm going to become the world's great philanthropist. And I'm going to give all my wealth away. That's a noble thing, but if you don't give your heart to Jesus, you can give all the wealth you've got away. If you don't give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, brother, you'll die and go to hell. Why? Because you didn't give him your heart. The heart defines who you are, Steve. It directs your path. Why? Because the Lord lives in there. He walks with me and talks with me, calls me by his name. I'm his, he's mine. Everywhere I go, he goes. If that's truly the case, Brother Tim, some of them been taking him to some places they shouldn't be taking him. They need to be up here. But not only that, Brother Archie, it all happens because of my deliverance. Because I've been delivered by his grace. Brother Scott, come get us that song of invitation tonight.